Okay, let's get those crickets out the way. Why don't we get the crickets out the way? Folks, please.
Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed.
This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM457. I saw a little panel that I've seen a few weeks in a row making a comment. I think it's pretty aware of what's going on, what's gone on. One of the problems I have with them is that we stay these phrases, these things, these memes, and we just let them go instead of looking at them. And if they interest us, we move against it, which I thought COVID would expose to all of us, how we could actually control the beast that we complain about. But the statement is the bankers will ensure we stay in debt. And the subject matter here was pretty telling of where we're walking right into. We're really not saying anything as a populace, and that's worldwide. And in some regard, at least for the United States and in America, and the Americans this way, we had the highlight for the bankers here about not being in debt. We had the way to not be in debt. Let me read this the phrase before I interject so much. The bankers will ensure we stay in debt. The pharmaceutical companies will ensure we stay sick. The weapons manufacturers will ensure we keep going to war. The media will ensure we are prevented from knowing the truth. And the government will ensure all of this is done legally. But it's not lawful. Those of you that know the distinction should understand what I've been talking about for near ever on how to separate the jurisdictions and bring the law to bear. Instead of complaining about it, not the government not working. The government has nothing to do with anything. The people in it are the problem. And I haven't heard much talking lately, and I just want to lead with this story because it's just so important in some regard. It's just been a lingering, festering wound. For some reason, I've been interested in it for a long time, just watching. How would they foment this? I don't even understand why they want to foment this. But the weapons manufacturers want to keep the war going. The underlying part of that, too, is that keeps the economy going. And when we're walking into a problem where everyone starts to have trouble, financial trouble, we know, anybody who's done any reading, they know the bankers, so-called, bring on war. And you all die. And after we look for a while, those of us that look, we see no good reason for what everything's going on. And the government's legalized it. And so this story is particularly horrifying in a way. It's just, I don't know what to say about it. I don't know why they're doing this. They got your attention into China. I told you the pivot to China is the e-government, social credit, control structure coming on us. What's interesting in the United States, though, there's lots of saber rattling in the China Sea area, is this story over on the other side. U.S. Embassy orders evacuation of non-essential staff and diplomats, family members from Ukraine. Now, the additional story I understand is the United States is also sending material. They've already sent supposedly training troops into that area. And I'm just looking at this saying, well, this may be, whether this is or not, I don't know, but this may be the war that's created in our economic distress. To do what? To kill off the young folk. Kill off all you young folk. That's why, again, the women were made required to do the draft. Can I know that's happening? No. Does it look like it's a possibility? Yes, it is. Do we have people in control of the government, the tiller of the ship of state right now that are this stupid? Well, I think so. We've had it repeatedly. So I don't know what more to do about this stuff. I watch it. I see not much response. I see lots of complaining, but nobody takes action to start calling it out. Calling it out and then moving to work locally. Again, I talked about the adjutant general in the states. That's the military arm for your states. And you can point out the national security, the state security disaster that's happened in the violation of law. And I don't hear many people doing that either, if anybody. But it's right here. We see the military moving. We see they're responding. Saw that last week. I talked about the military. They kind of know what's going on. Whether they know that they need to step up is a whole different thing. That's just you telling them. whether they do that or not is a whole different question. No different than making a petition to a sheriff who claims himself to be the conservative peace, and we haven't seen evidence of it. We filed the petition anyway. And yes, we'll see what happens. The threat against us is not diminished by the fact that I file a piece of paper. That's not Shields. It's people working in government dutifully, pursuant to their promise, which you find out is all vaporous and is all vaporware. Government, it seems to be vaporware, till you finally get people that actually do something. I'm going to show you here. We get down to tabs and late breaking opinion from an attorney general. There's due process. It's just no one even knows. That's why they're inquiring on the attorney general to find out. And the answer comes back, well, the law only allows this direction, not the other direction that you've been suffering. Anyway, it's just in the black and white, folks. It's the objective basis. When you get past these psychopaths, it just took control of your world. You're literally the world now. It had no basis for it. And the simple thing I could only do, because I'm not really a violent guy, I don't really agree in the violence, although I'm not a pacifist, is to make a record that you have a right to be someone that can take action when no action's taken and you're facing destruction of some sort. We're dealing with psychopaths. I mean, I don't know what to say. I got some more. I'll show you. Just look around the definition. So psychopathy is a thing that's running the place. And law, objective basis was supposed to be the guidance. If there's any guidance, it was supposed to be the law, not guidance from officials that are on the take. But moving on here, U.S. Embassy orders evacuation of non-essential staff and diplomats. Never been a good story. And in the UK, and it's not like Vietnam where we're running away. This is where they're fortifying a puppet government as well. And so, I'm not really thrilled about hearing this, and I'm not thrilled because of the timing, and when they want to take your mind off of stuff, and they want to get everybody rallied up, and you saw how COVID took out probably half the population ran with that fraud. They're going to run with every fraud, and that's what's known about us. And that's why it's important that people start to speak up, and I keep saying, not in your opinion, speak up in the black and white. You can point to say this was not fulfilled. As an official, you were required to fulfill it. And we'd get a bunch of people that could come together to start fortifying that. And in a way, that's one of the working parts of the petition we just delivered, is the populace has to help. The populace has to see a thing in it that they cannot stand anymore, that they didn't know the support and foundation was there to advance, and they can now take the baton and run that right into the breach. The breach that really wasn't there, because the people that are making the false front made a spaghetti western that people started watching and got entertained by the movie. The guy behind the curtain was not a joke that really happened. It's just a curtain. Why don't we just pull it back and then yank that twerp off his seat? We don't have to do more. Miners used to do a whole lot more. I mean, I'm kind of shocked at where miners went, about what they did, had to go through, going through a discussion with somebody and had to go back, and I can't remember how I remember all this stuff, but I had to go back and find the origination of what happened in the mining hall, actually the point before it. It says right in that case, the court made an adjudication that miners were outlaws, but they had their own system of law. It was common law. If you don't understand how miners are fundamental to understanding what people do in this country, notwithstanding what government does. And so that's been a little bit of an inspiration, an example, something to touch, to be a touchstone to for me. But I look around and I see we're not doing any of that for anything. And now we're being led into a war at a time that people are going to be hurting, that they're going to need money, or the system needs the economy. And so we go to war instead of making peace and other things. And so this is to my mind, this is a big, big, big story. As we then move also, as they move into how the government will do it out there, they'll do it inwardly. Army conducting 2-week guerrilla warfare exercise, quote, guerrilla warfare exercise in rural North Carolina focused on battling, quote, freedom fighters. Should be all you need to hear about the United States government and what it thinks about you and what they do and the names they call you. And this has becomes another battlefront, the terminology. And I was reading this story in the beginning of it, and it just turned to me, you folks better figure out what you're going to rely on as a foundation for your existence relative to the law, relative to the need, and a historic need as well. This is not new. This is also what I'm going to suggest has already been there. I don't mean the originations. I mean the acceptance of it. Acceptance of an idea. Because it's looking like they're, what we've been hearing is that they're coming against us here as well. The United States is just the War Department is, they call it the Defense Department. They changed their name. So they camouflage what they do. It's a War Department. Then they just declared some years ago they would make total dominance of the world. Now, I don't understand the jurisdiction of all that. I'm not here to argue all this and disguise. I'm just saying that they're there doing it. The octopus was born. The many-tentacled beast is there. But the U.S. Army is conducting a two-week guerrilla warfare exercise, in quotes, guerrilla warfare exercise, in rural North Carolina, focused on battling freedom fighters and putting down a secessionist movement. The exercise, you think that you thought the Civil War ended. No, this is a continuation. I've told you it never ended. Proved it. I've talked about it. I don't know why people don't understand this and put their mind in a different frame so they start framing. They learn to frame the condition in a better way. The exercise comes right after Justice Department under Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the creation of a new, quote, domestic terrorism unit to go after American citizens as terrorists. Remember, as law, as money, as terrorists. There's nothing actual. They just make it up. And they continue to do it until we stop that. This becomes more serious. The United States is fomenting a battle against Russia. I don't know for why. I don't know for what. But they're willing to do it. And they're willing to spend your life on it. And your so-called material, your blood and treasure, on how many frauds have we seen? They're going to continue to do it again. And I told you they're coming home. The mirror is there to show that they're coming after you. How many times have we heard about the maneuvers in mega cities and things like that? Well, now they've gone to the rural. That derogatory term for you country folk. Everybody lives outside the citadels of the city. The exercise also comes off after the Army General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, embraced indoctrinating the military with critical race theory propaganda to help soldiers understand the white rage that led to January 6th. So you start seeing how these pieces are put together. And I can tell you if I hadn't, well, I don't really study it too much, but if I'd had no thought about it, had not seen it before, I would say that January 6th was a setup by the people who fomented it to cause it so that they could use it today to continue to come after the rest of the people in the country, in the countryside. Let me go back up without more discussion on this to point out something, just to give us an alternative to view. What if you took freedom fighters and just called them Minutemen? What if you referred to them as the response to oppression? Now you're gonna see the definition of Minutemen becomes militia. But what if you stop that? Don't bring it into the militia. Just bring it into what the Minutemen were, what they did, and become that for the same reason. Instead of being as a domestic terrorist, you point yourself out to be those that are mobilized and highly mobile and rapidly deployed to enable your counties to respond to war threats. And you put these so-called federal imposition doing guerrilla maneuvers as the enemy against the people by your position and identifying yourself as the Minutemen ready to rigorously and mobily come after this threat. You don't even have to do it militarily. When they show up, you should be all kicking them out of North Carolina. You should wonder why your government's allowed it. Remember, the military is subordinate to the civil authority. Where was that to protect you? Where's been COVID tells you that they won't, so you better be very careful who's working for you and who ain't, who's supposed to. So, I just looked at this and I said, they're making this up. We've heard this before, but they're coming back. They're coming back into there. They're going guerrilla maneuvers and they're calling you as terrorists. They're just defining you as a terrorist. You're not. But your silence is going to give them credibility. Your mobilization and your sense of response as militia is what they're using against you. your organizational setups that are known is what's being used against you. This is a war. They wouldn't be coming after to you if they didn't think you were a threat. But everyone takes on a macho attitude on how they're going to address this. This, they talk about guerrilla. Yeah, why don't you do the guerrilla thing? Learn what the Minutemen did against the British. They started, they were denounced for this. They started hiding behind barriers and trees and things to chase down the enemy coming at them, and that wasn't deemed to be civilized. They did it nonetheless to survive. And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. We take examples in history of what's going on. Right now, we have every ability to do it on paper, to get the people that are supposed to serve the people in official, local officials, to stop this nonsense, shut it down. As I pointed out to you, COVID can be done really quickly. No, instead we go and we have rallies on the White House, right? No mandates. I hope you've understood. Arguing about no mandates is missing the point. That all you have to do is identify that no official has ever found the infectious agent in you, about you, around you, and we know there is no test and there is no the virus. And so I spend a little more time here than I wanted to. They're training up to come after us as the terrorists. No different than they use the word sovereign citizen when these people who work without law are actually the sovereign so-called citizen. They're the ones that's the citizen that's in office, that's violating the law, that treats the law. They are the law. And we haven't said anything up against them. I'm asking us to redefine. You can go to your adjutant general in your states, and you can say, what is this insurrection that you're coming after us as terrorists, people as terrorists, calling us names, instead of understanding we have a right to defend ourselves against this kind of oppression? And if you look very carefully, and I think we'll hopefully get to this about the Nebraska Attorney General, if you look at your statutes, even the statutes, the surrogate substituted statutes will explain there's a hierarchy of things. And I found, and this is now in my knowledge, there is not very many duties of the Attorney General to step up, but they do definitely in the state statutes I was using have a duty to step up for the defenseless and the oppressed. If you understand what I just said, you understand how to frame what's going on against you. That gives you, once you state that and there's no action, that gives you the right to act underneath another convention that was set up for you to find maladministration in government and your right to alter and abolish that. In other words, you're back to the Minuteman. You're not a freedom fighter like some surrogate from the Middle East that is obviously doing it all screwed up, not even based right. But they get you looking like that. They color you. You let yourself be colored. And then your actions are such that they let you color you. As you see, they refer to January 6th. Total setup. And I told you then, I said, that's what I'm asking you to do. Go to the steps of the Capitol, but don't do it that way. Don't get brought into that kind of a thing. No one listens. Just like today, I sent out a couple of Twitters. Two people like I'm getting to admire. I've always admired John Rappaport, noticing JP's been really laying it out in a humorous way, you know, the comedic response. And yet, they're missing where the actual action is. And so I appreciate all the efforts to cause people to activate to resist so-called mandates, but that's one step removed of what has to happen. The law doesn't work, the communicable disease law doesn't work on groups, it works on people individually. And so each one of them has the power, but no one sees this. No, you'd rather come together and work in a group that has no force and effect against what they're doing. The sentiment's all right. That you don't want to be oppressed is okay. But just making that argument is not getting to the point that there was no demonstration of non-fraudulent exigency to get anybody there. Put the people in the need. So the attack on the military upon our own people and naming us as terrorists we've been targeted with that. We just tried to get the mail, the postmaster general, to deliver the stop to misdelivering the mail. They called us that. So it's an easy term to throw out there, and we turned it right back and we said that's not wasn't proper. You didn't show it. We went through another dialogue. They never responded. Well, we still didn't get our mail delivered, but we now have it on record that they're willing to mischaracterize and defame people in order to evade the law. What does that mean? Maybe nothing if no one else cares. Moving on here. The army is coming to come against the people. They vilify, they denigrate, they defame the right to defend against an oppressor, which is them. And you let it. Your local civilian authorities allow it. It takes a quick mobilization of the requirement to enforce the law against a federal oppressor in order to start sending the idea you're tired of this nonsense and this lack of law and order, essentially. Within that context, and the things that the government denigrates and defames, is your ability to acquire the arm that you would use to defend yourself. And I'm not going to get into all that nonsense about regulation and all, and seeing the definition of difference in firearm is different federally than what you have arm in the Constitution and all this other stuff. But we do have that there is a pushback technologically. I don't know how I would ever engage this. This is a $3,000 or so machine that could do this, but impossible to regulate, quotes, in quotes, impossible to regulate. That only happens until they try to regulate it and they put it in law and no one says no. But at any rate, Ghost Gunner introduces new 0% receiver. What this is these amazing machines. It's a metal CNC lathe machine like a 3D printer, but it actually does metal, and it allows everyone to manufacture their own arm, and it doesn't apparently require a receiver to be bought, which is regulable. And so the technology moves along, and probably so does the legislation to kind of outlaw it. But at some point, people are going to have to step up and say that this can't be outlawed because you have every right to acquire. You have a right to acquire what you are to be able to enforce the provision reserved to you to alter and abolish an oppressive and a regime or government that tends to want to make you defenseless against it. And every attorney should have stepped up about this. And we know that they likely won't because they're pushing the agenda. Why? The membership, the Bar Association is on record, and I've talked about it, I've read it, I put it in our petition, and we put it in all kinds of, it was our lawsuit in 2013, which they defaulted on and agreed, but this is what they do. They promote a foreign agenda, looks domestic to you. They've domesticated a treason, essentially, into the system, and no one said otherwise. But here, impossible to regulate, so-called Ghost Gunner introduces a 0% receiver. To have you allow you to make your arms for defense at home. You know, how all that will work, I'm not quite sure. Very interesting. I always love the technology. I think it's fantastic that we would have the ability to make our stuff at home. But if you look very carefully, there's no obstruction to that. How they're going to make a rule to change that, I don't know if you know what you're doing, but most people are being quiet, so they're likely going to get their rule in without any kind of pushback. And then if there's a pushback, it typically is in the wrong way, which I've identified over and over how that wrong way gets done. It's almost as if your people are infiltrated with the government and they all come out and do the wrong thing. Or even if you're not, and you're not infiltrated, you have the wrong idea. Like I've been able to see, we're so woefully ignorant of our own processes. It's taken 2 years and we still haven't pushed off something that's clearly a fraud. Clearly a fraud in this COVID. Any other thing. Clearly no authority in it. The idea for mandates coming from the federal government on the states, absolutely could not happen. In fact, thank you to the emailer. Reminded me of my own. I mean, send back the statutes I told you. I read you on the broadcast. I included copy and paste the section in the code for the rules that shows that the federal OSHA has no authority to override things like common law, your statutory rights, your things that you can rely on the state. So, did them one of the affidavits I offered to people to use. So, the black and white explains your due process. It explains what has to happen. It explains it's not cut and dried. It explains the obligations on the officials imposing upon us because we are supposed to be free and we're all supposed to be innocent. ATF would have to overcome, they would have to overcome your right to acquire. How do I get, I haven't figured out about this right of acquire, because that's what happens. I didn't even realize it's early on with the mining law. But you have this grant that gives you, like a reservation in the Constitution. The grant to possess is also a grant right to acquire. they can't even stop us from going to get more land. So you have the right to acquire, and you have the right to acquire free of any obstruction, notwithstanding what the courts have said, which are actually the government oppressing you. And if you look at the Minutemen, to bring back to the Minutemen, if you show that, you see immediately the British came in to take the powder. They took the means of defending themselves. And it was advanced thinking and advanced placement and obfuscation that allowed the Minutemen to be able to have continued stuff to be able to defend themselves. That's the U.S. government, the British, right? I mean, I don't see how we see the difference here. And they're coming to do guerrilla warfare against you or test for you to understand how you might move in those forests where you started to learn how to do guerrilla tactics. That's why they call it a guerrilla warfare, asymmetric warfare. It's right here in our own country. Who would have thunk it? And who are we now to step out all these years to say we saw it and we were preparing, even if you want to call yourself a militia instead of Minutemen, defending against oppression and defense and being defenseless? We've seen that coming. What are you doing for yourself? There has to be a forward record that they're wrongly there. Otherwise, we agree. Moving forward now. And that record that they generate, relative to what's been coming on, is to keep track of all the as-terrorists and other things, and the gangs. And again, they fold together the good stuff with the stuff they shouldn't actually be doing to bring up, roll up even innocent people. But the Fusion Center gang database are unreliable, but can continue. Appeals Court says, the heading here, the gang database, you don't think you're a gang of freedom fighters? Even if they use the word Minutemen, if they do, they agree that you have the right. You are now in the status that had the right to stop oppression. Freedom fighters may not, if you understand this lingo problem and what they do. A recent Boston Globe article claimed that the appeals court dealt with Boston Regional Intelligence Center's BRIC gang database, a blow by pointing out flaws to their point system. But a closer look at the ruling reveals a far more troubling issue with Fusion Centers and their ruling. Initially, the opening statement looks good. Flaws in that database, including its reliance on erratic point system built on unsubstantiated inferences, compel us to conclude that the credibility judgment, and in turn, the rejection of Diaz-Ortiz's request for relief is not supported by substantial evidence. The ruling reveals that BRIC generates a gang member verification report for individuals who have been entered into the secret database based on a secret database based on a highly questionable point system. The secret GMVP gets forwarded to the Boston School Police, where officers can add more points to the GMVP based on what they observe. All subjective, all without test, all without due process. And the point being that even though they're doing it this way, the Court of Appeals, and so if you understand what the court was saying, I can read when they say the statement they did about the flaws in the database, our instruction on what to plug up to fix so that they could cover and make a plausible good reason for why it should exist. And this is the gist of this article, that they have subjective way to declare you as terrorists, to declare you a gang, to declare you on all the subjective ideas. And that's all been allowed by the current Bar Association, the ongoing Bar Association usurpation, under the color that's the best that this is justice can do. Well, that's not justice. The best of justice can do is not justice. And we've been silent on it. So I understand the Fusion, there was a challenge to the Fusion Centers, which have been in existence for quite a long time. Taking note now, so certainly since 9/11, where everybody was considered to be an enemy combatant, who put points on you, social credits, if you will, on your agreeability to some subjective think in an enforcement capacity whose only object is to hammer you as the nail. So we have the ability to make our own firearms. We have these people that are oppressors under color of plausible enforcement making you as terrorists. And we have another thing going on. They look at you instead of looking at the culprits in the world. Who's the gangs out there they put in the database? Do you think that the pharmaceuticals are gangs in that database? The actual, we can demonstrate them as terrorist gangs? Well, likely, you know, that's not going to happen because this is not about the law, order, or anything else, and everyone's been okay with that. Another smoking gun, the one you can make in the house, but the one outside that's going to come to you, the smoking gun, Moderna patented man-made SARS-CoV-2 gene sequence in 2018. A little report pops out. Now, I'm not sure how they were able to do this again, if it was just a derivative of SARS-CoV-1. However, here's evidence of some sorts how they identified this was that what Moderna actually patented was a 19 nucleotide sequence, which is found in what they're saying is the synthetic chemical weapon that was patented. So this, by definition, has to be, through the Myriad case, has to be a synthetic, man-made, novel, patentable sequence of proteins, chemicals, and not a biological device either. So just to point out, the more, as I told you this a long time ago, as we go on, if we're going to last this long, and we have, we will eventually dig up. The wonder of the internet will allow us finally to dig up some of the, where all the skeletons are. This is another one of those elements. You see, there, if this is the truth, that there's a sequence that's been patented, that's what they're dealing with. There's only sequences, not biological agents, which means, again, getting back, if I want to go to the mitigation side of this thing, you hand the officials the authority to dictate to you what the mitigation measure is, instead of knowing that it's supposed to be in your doctor exclusively, and that they can't do that until they've actually found the infectious agent in you, when you're the vector, that they have nothing to apply to on you, but that they're identifying, if they're identifying that, if it is, it has to be the patented man-made stuff, which means SARS-CoV-2, if it exists, and it exists, it can't exist naturally, it is a man-made attack. Where's your military that comes after the people, the freedom fighters, instead of going after the people that are taking down your country through this fraud, through this deception? You know, I'm just offering these things, and if you're going to go talk to these people that are supposed to be in there doing their duty and they're under their oath, you want to have a little bit of a spectrum of conversation. And one of the feedbacks I'm listening for very carefully is how well the petition that we filed was coherent and didn't stray and all that kind of nice stuff. And so far, the feedback has been pretty good. You want to go in with a comprehensive addressment of a problem. You want to show both sides of the problem, but you want to ultimately show there's no avoidance of the duties that's supposed to be done, and they have at this point those lawful due process duties have been evaded now, and they are causing irreparable harm. And you continue to press on these people that supposedly have a position in the government that have to have a say that we're supposed to respond already. And you start to bring this along and you start to show, in my mind says it can happen, and multiple, hopefully thousands of people would step up, and you're going to start exposing all the things that government is, what we complain about, and you're going to start to put the pressure on the government to stop attacking you, first of all, start doing what the law is, and or resign, and or get replace themselves. And it's really kind of interesting, and I can't prove every bit of it, but everywhere that I've had people come to me and we apply this idea, black and white, applied, and don't let up on the pressure. Come comprehensively. Try not to get too wild, not too far out there. You got to keep a little bit of a comprehensive scope, but you want to keep confined and funnel and attack, keep pressing down. People all of a sudden they're resigned. They disappear. You don't know where they went. They're gone. And they're gone. I don't know how many officials, so-called, I've seen after just a few months, all of a sudden have been replaced, disappeared, gone, and can't even find trace of it. Because the heat of a thousand suns starts to point in on how they were not in the job. They're not doing their duty. And it doesn't happen until someone makes the pressure. And so this is, again, I just say that I don't like it. I don't like having to do it. But someone has come to take us out. We are an occupied people and we're being occupied by in the ways that everyone complains that nothing seems to work. And yet no one sits down to get the objective basis. So what we allow then, the smoking gun that Moderna here actually patented a protein sequence that's in the thing that they claim is going on, which I told you if they're going to have a test for it, they can test for that. They can now accurately find that that's in the world because, but they'll have to admit that that was a chemical weapons attack. That was man-made. And where was the military and the governors to stop that? That if a man made it, man can stop it. It's not natural. We cut that out and all of a sudden we stop our problem. Well, no, you see, the government legalizes the crime, as I broke in with that so-called meat. But we move on and we have these companies that will do doing all these patents and they, you know, it's all about the profit. I get that, I guess. Not much profit behind a woodshed. But I guess I'm not a criminal. They are given legality to make profit, and they're given legality to keep killing people before you are forced to have to do something. So if you think that I'm saying you need to do something because it's a waste of time, no, that's the way the system works. Everyone gets to be innocent of their crimes until they're caught. And instead of, you see, officials, they're supposed to do their oath before they tell you there's a crime going on that needs to be, or a problem that needs to be stopped to protect them. Now we get to Pfizer. Remember, Pharmaceuticals. The P's are all silent, all this stuff. Even what the secretary, the press secretary, her first letter is silent, I suppose. Pfizer announced a Chantix recall in the U.S. a month later and has since expanded the warnings to include additional lots of medication that can contain N-nitrosol, varenicline, and other carcinogenic impurities. In a discussion here, a Chantix class action lawsuit filed over cancer-causing impurity. Well, Johnson & Johnson comes to mind. Oh, and didn't Johnson & Johnson make a different type of jab? And I think that was a setup jab. I think they had to compete with Russia, but that's neither here nor there. These companies are allowed to put stuff in there and understand the FDA or the other agency, whatever, I can't remember that, allowed to, CDC, they allow this stuff. Every bit of these lawsuits is a chemical that some official allowed. And so we have the same people that are making a jab, Pfizer, not unlike J&J and their talc, but jab is making jab. They also have a chemical that causes cancer. And now they get to defend it. They get to go after and defend themselves against it, and they'll do what the system will do what it does. It'll do its protections, its so-called due process, its court cases, all the expense. You think that this class action, that the people are actually going to get compensated? No. These are just major frauds across the board. But these are the people that are being allowed to continue. The government will ensure all of this stuff is done legally, not lawfully. What do I say? We have all complaints and nobody wants to step up and protect ourselves. From whom also? As we watch, and no law is out there, we watch all this, this imposition by people that cannot develop the non-fraudulent exigency anywhere. And what got me was watching all these people now were going on to the kids and how they're being imposed, and we're watching the psychological warfare against them. And I watched videos across the world that the kids are done. They're all, especially I saw a video in France, absolutely going to make sure that everyone gets a vaccine, actually going to be feared into making sure that they are not threatened by someone who doesn't have a vaccine. They have not been told that healthy people aren't a problem. It's those in offices that won't file objective basis who have a psychopathy, a psychological phobia about germs, essentially. And they're making your sons and daughters germaphobes. Germophobia, How to Help Kids Who Are Afraid of Germs, actually is a story, is a report to read, and How to Start to Stop What Officials, who themselves are either germophobes or have become them because of the jab, because their mentality has been interfered with. You have to don't forget that. Everything that's going on likely is decided by someone who has likely a medical incapacity that is undiagnosed. But germophobia is a bit of a psychopathy. It's not a necessary criminal, but it is a very serious problem. And there's now an actual article I found that explains how to get kids out, little goats, out of the fear, because they are being traumatized. They are being abused. They are being made afraid of nature. And I'm not totally, after reading the, looking at the video, I'm not necessarily totally happy with what I heard, everything, but the point is well made. You have to make life living normal, that there's things out there, that the things that are come against you may make you likely make you stronger, that for the most part what happens with our immune system is that what doesn't kill us, we become stronger against, to a point. And yet, for the extra little bit that we wouldn't, we have the miracle of good applied medicine and doctors that care and know what they're looking for. And I am a beneficiary of one of those doctors and a beneficiary of modern antibiotics, that if I hadn't been for that doctor who understood finally, it took him a while to figure it out, who took the time to figure it out, I wouldn't be here. So everything has its place again. But it's all based on your relationship with a doctor, not some official that has is under germophobia of some sort. Instructions now on how to get over your irrational fear of germs. Maybe something that those of us that are healthy and have to face these germophobes in offices as well, maybe ask the question, are you okay? Here's a problem. Here's what you need to do. I'm here to help you. The start of this statement, this report is, the world is a filthy, trash-filled, bacteria-laden hellscape, and if you're a germaphobe, that's just scratching the surface. And I get back to the idea that we have a fungus in us if we take the jab that's causing us to feel like we need to be afraid of germs. Why? Because we want to promote to others to get the jab so that we, as a fungus, can tell the zombie now, the zombified organism, to go promote me around to other people. It's kind of a terrifying thought that looks like it's playing out. And this point about getting over your irrational fear is the kind of people that we're dealing with. Why can I say that now? I mean, I continued talking about it. And I told you we're going to be dealing with psychopaths and they're touched. They have a mental problem. This is now an exacerbated phobia that is not law, that is not rational, that's irrational, it's incapacitated. And these are the people that are running your life. And I offer this just to say we have another option as well to challenge people for their capacity. When they're not following the law and they can't show it and they continue to say that they're right, or they're taking guidance and advice and they should, in places they shouldn't have and have no authority to, we either have a mentally deficient person who is in office that shouldn't be there, or we have a tyrant. Either one needs to be fixed. There's a term called misophobia. It's a part of a germophobia. And I'll just provide a link that shows you that these things are out there. These psychological things have been identified. Whether I agree with psychiatry is not the point. The point is that there's statuses that are available that we can see at least some basic symptoms to, that we can apply, that says, well, you have all the evidence of this. Maybe you should go get some help. But before that, you need to stop what you're doing underneath that incapacity, and you need to stop harming me. You need to stop conveying your phobia on people that are healthy. And then you can relate to how we're going to do that. The objective basis is your communicable disease law wherever you are. As I went and looked, I don't even know why I was there, it wasn't because of the rally, the mandate rally in Washington, D.C., but I decided I wanted to look, well, what does the district, not a state, but what does the district have, if at all, communicable disease law? Are those people completely slaves? Or do they have due process? And guess what? They have due process. They have a communicable disease code, too. And everybody that was sitting there at the rallies ought to have investigated what the disease code there in D.C. was, the District of Columbia, not the state. The district even has due process that they could have relied on better than the waving their banners and flags and coming up with eloquent statements against mandates to say, wait a minute, there's no jurisdiction to even say you have an authority to say about mandates, let alone you can't go to an actual state to do that. But we have some underlying medical problems, psychological problems that are foisting upon us as its government. And I just found it, first of all, I'm just saddened that the little ones are being, well, it wasn't a question, that now there's articles on how to treat them. Now, whatever the examples are, may not be agreeable to what the adults are agreeing to when they do this therapy. I didn't agree with that part. But to identify that people are living in nature and nature is out there and that's just what we live in this world. Remember, this all comes from the same people doing climate change and sustainable development where nature is to be feared. That's what they're putting on your kids. And they've somehow, there's a cancer, there's a systemic medical problem, mental problem in people that they're able to receive and absorb this and respond to deprive healthy people. And the healthy people aren't saying anything. And the healthy people aren't using the black and white to prove they have the right to say something. In other words, that's why you go to the Communicable Disease Code, where it says there has to be a medical report, where it says there has to be a lawful assessment, where it has to be based on something, not the presumptions, where it has to be then dealt with privately, all back to the doctor, and the doctor and you determine, which is where your exemption then should go, if you have one, if there's a thing that is a guidance and suggestion from the official to prevent, which if I say that, you should just say, well, the doctor couldn't allow a jab because they have been declared not to prevent, and therefore they're not even on the table. But prevent what? Hasn't been declared, so we don't have to get there yet. Anyway, so I don't know why it's so simple in my mind, and I don't know why people aren't picking that up pretty quickly. But that's my thoughts as I go through this. We're dealing with people with a germophobia. They're not dealing in rational capacity. And that can be challenged. I think every constitution has the ability to challenge, and this might be from the legislature, has to challenge the other branch of government, the officials in the other branch of government. Now, will they? I don't know. But if you have these states, I don't know, this is why I don't understand, the states that are already not really going with this whole thing, where are all the mechanisms of your government to step in to do the check and balance? Says no one else than the guy behind the woodshed. And working hard to get people to do that. And it did make it into our petition. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I showed how the relinquishment of local power to the federal suggestion is violating our established government that would protect us. And they're doing it for a bribe. So I think I've got all the elements right there of a crime. Anyway, we'll see. Salt Lake City. So here we have all this people with phobias writing opinions in the paper. A Salt Lake City Tribune editor calls for National Guard to keep unvaccinated people in their homes. And I looked at that and I said, well, that's an interesting title, an interesting heading. First of all, the people with the pen are getting the day. They get the first word out. But who did he go to rely on? The National Guard is the same people I just said last week. Go to the Adjutant General in your state. Show them the national defense problem here, that the state defense problem, state security problem. So he's calling out the National Guard against healthy people, no less, as I said it would happen. The Salt Lake City Tribune editorial board, the whole board, not just one, they all must have been, I would have to
I would have put, well, I'm not, a, I don't know if I, I got some change I can put onto the bet. Some shiny copper, if you'll take the laminated coin. I would put money in that most of those folks have been vaccinated. But anyway, just a thought. Salt Lake City Tribune editorial board published an editorial on Saturday that called for the Utah governor to use the National Guard to prevent unvaccinated citizens from going anywhere. And I don't need really, do I need to say more? They do say that you're not, those of you that are healthy or not, shouldn't be put in civilized place. However, I think that's a pretty good example. You need, in Utah, to do the same thing to your adjutant general. Go right to the National Guard, the adjutant general in your state, and say, here is the crime. Here is the fraud. Here is the psychopathy that's working to destroy this place. And where have you been? And you give them the black and white, not your opinion, on how the law has not been followed and how the Republican form of government has been usurped and is being advocated to be usurped by the Salt Lake City Tribune editorial board. Another thought. But these are people that are calling out the National Guard against you and the unvaccinated are saying, what problem am I? And they're not saying anything when you have the same power, not just to call it out in editorial. You get to actually write that letter right to the adjutant general and say, where are you to stop this subversion of the Republican form of government? Where the governor hasn't done this, the governor has done that, hasn't done this relative to this black and white law, or your public health officials have not. And what you do that for is you call out this guy for calling the attention of the National Guard on fear, on no substantial basis, and really no rationale. When you point out there's no rationale behind this, you are pointing to the fact that they have a mental incapacity. And this is a whole board of people. I'm offering how you would frame a viable option for these officials that really don't want to do anything in their oath. They weren't comfortable when there wasn't scrutiny. And as long as you don't turn the heat of a thousand suns on them, they're okay. They're the cockroach in the dark. And yet every black and white authority is on them to do what they need to do. That there is a due process that's required to be observed. And it all actually works kind of automatic when it works. The only thing that worked automatic this time was the foisting of a fraud upon the whole of every state and every jurisdiction in the world, and nobody saying anything. And where do we get another instance of what I'm talking about? There's due process in the black and white. Every once it pops up, even now we get a story, a late breaking to me, thank you to the emailer. In fact, it was David Tulis who is doing his, continuing his appeal on a court case that should have ended literally 14 days after it was placed into the Chancery Court one way or the other. Should have lasted only 14 days. This thing's been going on, I don't even know, maybe over a year, maybe. I'll keep up track with that. But he sent me this interesting little tidbit, and it just never ceases to amaze me how if we look far enough, if we knew to look, in most all states, and I don't know if this is going to be in every state, but in most all states, your due process is there to be observed and to be meaningfully allowed and actually promoted for you in protection of you. And this little statement coming out of Nebraska now on a request, and it's 48 pages. I will not go through it. I just want to read the front end of it because I want to show you when you just read far enough, you realize the authorities are there to prohibit the automatic imposition of tyranny upon us. And when I read this, I wonder where is the Nebraska Attorney General, but in all this and not making a statement up front and not attacking their state for the decision the governor made in that state to continue any kind of fraud. And we have here on the introduction, I'll read a paragraph or two short. On September 16th, 2021, took this long now for this question to reach the Attorney General, and if it's like any most of the states I've read, you and I do not have access to the state's Attorney General. That's the attorney for the state. And you start to see how we're distinct and different, and unless you're an agency, unless this is different in Nebraska, I don't know,
No, you don't have direct access. How we get in the state that we have to go through, in the we can't get direct access to the Attorney General necessarily. We go through people that are legislators that are agreeable to ask the question of the Attorney General. Here it goes. So back in September, finally, for all that time before this question gets asked of the Attorney General of Nebraska, on September 16, 2021, you requested our opinion on whether it would be, quote, deemed unlawful or otherwise subject to discipline under Nebraska Revenue Revised Statute 38-186 for an appropriately licensed health care provider, once informed patient consent has been appropriately obtained, to prescribe ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or other, quote, off-label use, close quote, medications, quote, for the treatment or prevention of COVID-19, close quote. You requested this opinion in your role as a chief executive officer of the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. You're in department. And they gave a statute. I won't read those. Those kind of there's a Nebraska statute that gives you, as the head of the executive department, the authority to ask our office's opinion on legal questions like this one. Interject on that. They're telling you there's an authority that the Attorney General is showing there is an authority, then he has to have an authority to even ask the question. If you didn't think there's limits on the actions of government, they're informing this letter is their evidence right here of the authority. There had to be an authority for the chief executive officer of the Department of Health to even ask this question, and there is, and they have. And they have the right to answer. And this is the kind of thing I want to point out. When you start looking and really looking at what's going on with some of this, you start to understand what real due process is about. It's not just a court saying, we have jurisdiction under this statute. Oh, no, there's a whole lot more behind how jurisdiction's established, whether it exists, how it exists, and how that has to be on the record. We saw the very same thing when we talked about the labor, all you folks that are still fretting over this labor stuff and getting fired and all this. And your employers getting these impositions, there's a whole due process behind what has to happen. It's not just because they say. They have to show at least three things right up front. And you're required to defend yourself, to demand what those three things are, the first of which is to develop and express or demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. Under labor code for the United States, applicable to all government, all businesses across the country, they have to follow this, and then they have to show the financial harm that you would be as healthy if they don't have the necessity, and then how it interfered with the people in business. Those are the first three. They have to do that. There's a whole process for that. Hearings. There's meetings about that. Records that have to be made. Where's all that with the people rallying in D.C. about wanting to stop mandates? Each one of those folks could do the same thing. Stop it on their own. This Attorney General is saying there is a hierarchy. You have a right to ask this question to us by this statute, and we have a right to provide an answer by this statute. The department, going on to the second paragraph, the department acting through the Division of the Public Health enforces the Nebraska Uniform Credentialing Act, UCA. The purpose of the UCA is to protect public health, safety, and welfare. Interjection, that's the police power in short form. That's what we've been working with. That's all we work with on this, what I've been talking about. Going on, the sentence says, from the Attorney General of Nebraska, one way in which the department protects the public is by investigating complaints alleging that licensed healthcare professionals have committed UCA violations. After the department completes an investigation, it refers the matter to the appropriate professional board to consider and make a recommendation to the Attorney General. Nebraska Statute 38-1086 then gives the Attorney General the authority to file a petition for discipline against the health care provider if such action is warranted. And I'm going to stop right there because the punchline to all this is the health care provider has the right to decide off-label health measures. And there's a hierarchy that has to go through, even by the health official in the state, that they can't make the decision. In Nebraska, the Attorney General has to make a decision after the proper investigation and record has been made. Now, I can't go through the 48 pages. I didn't have time to read it myself to explain. So I'm going to confine my discussion to lawful due process exists, whether we really understand or appreciate it or not. This beginning two paragraphs explains how that process is supposed to work against the doctors that have been vilified for 2 years. And that in Nebraska, at least, that should never have happened, and it shouldn't have even been a thought. Now, I suspect, and I can't prove, I've asked, is this, given the model nature, the model act nature of the across the nation of these laws, what other states has this provision? How many other states have had all these doctors been beat down when there was no right? How many places, how many times have I said that the exclusive jurisdiction is in the doctor with the doctor-patient relationship? That advice to do health care is not in the public sector. That before anything can happen against a licensee even, there is due process that's supposed to be afforded. And in Nebraska, the agency has no authority to make that complaint. Only the Attorney General after considerations. And I won't go through more. I didn't read more to find out. But it's so important. I got to repeat this and why I'm interjecting it and talking about it even without reading more. This is so important to what I've been saying about going and reading the black and white and finding out what's supposed to happen. It's the first thing I've asked you to do relative to communicable disease law. When you see the Attorney General of Nebraska saying, well, here's a statute that allows you to ask, here's the statute that allows us to say, and here's the statute that says what's supposed to happen relative to that request. Then, here's in the condition you've asked, the steps that needed to be taken. Did you hear? There's like 3 steps before it can even get to the point where any doctor is even scrutinized for a problem. And how fast did you see the destruction of the healthcare system based on people who took it on themselves to be the law? Anyway, I don't know. It's all there, folks. Our complaints are really, in my mind, hollow when all we have to do is do what this Attorney General just did for ourselves. Where are those doctors to even defend themselves is a problem for us as a society, not understanding, not embracing what this place was, what lawful due process is, and how you use it to make sure that the jurisdiction that's speaking to you is lawful. Make sure it then, if it's lawful, well, if it's not lawful, it has no authority. If it is lawful, that it has the authority, then to what extent? So even once this department, health department official receives a complaint and does an investigation, it's not like back in Europe you give a judge the fact, you give the judge a case and the judge decides what he's going to look at or not and then determines whether or not you're going under the gun. There's a couple of steps. And as a society in this country, for sure, United States of America or the United States, whichever direction you go, that there are steps that should be taken that I've been asking everyone to assert for themselves and protection of themselves. And so, another evidence that what you're watching is complete tyranny, complete oppression. And in this case, I would have to say people are not actually defenseless to it. They're just not exercising the law that would allow them to provide, if you will, a defense. It's really not a defense because there's not an attack if the official. You're not in a defensive mode where you can show that you had nothing to defend against. That the official in the United States of America was blatantly criminal coming out at the gate. And that law ended it right there. There's no fight. I said, don't try to get in an argument, folks. There's no fight. They've either done the steps or they didn't. Anyway, I'm going to end right here. Powerful link. Maybe there's more information. Actually, probably volumes of information. 48 pages of discussion. I can't imagine talking on this point for 48 pages. That apparently it's very, very important that someone got straightened up, and that the Attorney General made their point clear. It's 48 pages. That's just a few pages short of the petition I just delivered. Yes, there can be that much work. And they've got us on that. So anyway, moving on. Why is it important to understand that the doctor has and you have a relationship that can't be broken? Why everyone's so, they're arguing with themselves that doesn't exist when they argue that mandates shouldn't be going on. They should just show that there's no infectious agent. They haven't been shown to have it. They're not the carrier. And even if they were, heck, it's with the doctor that's going to prescribe what? The proper care. The official is three times removed from, actually, when you start seeing this step. In Nebraska, it's actually three times to get a complaint against the doctor that's potentially valid. So what's all this noise against the doctors? Is a crime. You're watching a crime, and no one stepped up. Not even the doctors themselves have defended themselves against this. And it's important that we have doctors involved, regardless of what we think about Western medicine. Western medicine has some great technological stuff for analysis. They're misusing the PCR, but that's a whole different thing. We have an ability in the West to do things that I don't think any civilization, well, the ones I can find that had any ability to actually, the ones that were intuit of what they were going on and empathetic with people, went to technology as a surrogate. Since then, the West is really the place to go to find out about stuff, about you. That is a real important thing. And so, the doctor really is the front line of that. And we heard in the Portugal case early on, the doctor has the exclusive jurisdiction. And I told you there is an evidence that the local officials, the health officials, for as powerful as police power is to control control a problem, it's not that powerful. But you want a doctor to be able to look at you, in particular if you're in this class, this next story shows why a state with good lawful due process has the steps of protection and check and balance. Because when you get bureaucrats that are suffering some germophobia and or some fungus that's telling them to get everybody else jabbed because that I can propagate myself, you come up with a story like this. American Heart Association Journal, 97.8% of adolescents and young adults with myocarditis had an mRNA COVID shot. That you go to the doctor, when this story pops out, when this study happens, privately, you tell your doctor, well, did you see this study? It may not be good for my son or daughter. It may not be good for me being an adolescent or a young adult. And I don't want to risk that. And you have the right to not consent. Realize that they said in the Nebraska article, there was informed consent. I don't know what that would have been, but because of fraud. Was that provided? Maybe that's underlying the problem, too. That would be interesting. I didn't read the rest of the page. Maybe it comes out. Anyway, you want to know, because of these other reports, you want to be informed that your doctor has to be looking at this and be part of the decision. And together with this report from the American Heart Association is the study from ahajournals.org, clinically suspected myocarditis temporarily related to COVID-19 vaccination in adolescents and young adults. Okay, it says temporarily. Have they done long-term studies for this? So that's not really the truth either. But wouldn't you think that if there was even a temporary effect on your heart, which we know the studies, quickly we already know they don't have to go too long-term, that it does damage your heart and maybe and it looks like irreparably. But you'd want to chance that when there may be other alternatives, which is only in the doctor with knowledge to do, opposed to a bureaucrat that's actually just supposed to be looking at the field, looking at the overstructure, and looking out where the best places might be to help prevent. Not continue or prolong or adjust or variant yourself through to endemicy, to endemic condition, which is another thing coming up here. I saw last week coming. No, it was supposed to prevent. Jabs wouldn't even be on the table anyway. That they can cause even a temporary harm would be enough. That when a doctor says ivermectin would be a better alternative, even off-label, the Nebraska Attorney General is on record now, unless it changed in the next 40 pages, 48 pages, 47 pages, that is the decision that you get to go with, and you can't unilaterally as an agent, a health agency, take them out or cast aspersions upon their character or their license at all. And this goes back to another principle about license. Once it's issued, there's also a lot of due process before you start bringing as long as they're within that, he says they within the UCA, that allowed for off-label use where the medical professional can justify it. And that's really the only other consideration. And that's, I'm going to anticipate that was in there as well. But clinically suspected myocarditis temporarily related to COVID-19 vaccination in adults and young adults is what the American Health Association did with their people to look at what's going on. Supposedly, that's their specialty. And so I would take that under advisement. And maybe I don't need to risk myself temporarily is a discussion you get to have privately. It's not something that the mandates can force. It's not something Biden can will. Even if you confine all the employees around the country, everywhere, confine them to the D.C. jurisdiction. In D.C., I went to look. Accidentally, I ran across it. And while I'm here, let me go look. They have the same, similar, it's very closely the same due process that everyone else should have gotten. That no one in the federal government can be put down like they are relative and forced to do mandate. They're not validated. They're not valid, and they're not available to be forced on. And that's why they call them guidances of information of what might be done that has to apply in each case. So going through the black and white due process requirements and the duties and obligations, as I've said, it's standing the test of time. I've said this over and over, and I think other people are starting to use it now, too. In fact, I think I'm going to get to a guy here if I ever get to it. Now, you were on the right side of history, as I said. You are on the right side of history if you just follow what I've been asking you to protect yourselves. It's not about me telling you. I'm saying here they're attacking you. You see it. Here's what you can do to not be a deer in the headlights or standing in between the rails of the local on-time train. Get off the tracks. Don't be a part of it. And show that they don't have a right to drag you in or knock you into the tracks as they pass by. And part of this goes on, you see how this world works, and you see the corruption in the judiciary, should be denouncing everything. You want to go back to your militiamen, your minutemen idea, making a record that the judiciary is now in maladministration would be easy to do now, where they've just folded over, didn't check a thing. They themselves committed the fraud committed by the executive branch. And you see this in the judicial promotion worldwide, the Bar Association worldwide doing the same thing as the Tulis petition alleges in its four corners. That would happen. The reason here, they say, Australia deported tennis star Novak Djokovic, and it had nothing to do with COVID, is one story here, you just start to get into it. I didn't understand anything about this. A tennis guy who, I guess, plays really well. He probably could have taken the tournament. I can understand why the Aussies may have wanted to boot him. And whether or not that's what this article wants to get to is not the point. The point that it became a story. Someone tried to come in who may have actually fabricated some paperwork on him coming in about getting vaccinated, got booted back out. He eventually gets deported. He can't participate in the games. But the insight about the court case that did that came from Dr. Eli David. The Australian government urged the court that letting Djokovic stay risks making him an icon of free choice. And the court agreed that this is indeed too risky. Dr. Eli David's comment here, a kangaroo court in a banana republic. Okay, I guess we could say that this is just abject tyranny and lawlessness in a judicial branch of government, that the court agreed it would be too risky that he became any icon when the actual report should have said, demanded of the officials, where was your non-fraudulent exigency on the record before you started on a presumptive course of treatment, which would deny people their right to move about anywhere and come freely into this country. We're supposed to be a free country. The story about this kind of moves on even further, and there might be some other things going on. But the point is, just the idea that the court would agree that the argument would be that he's an icon of free choice, that it was too risky, shows you you're not living in a future world, or a future world intended to, that you will be an icon of anything. Sure. You might be this little, all you'll be is your QCR code, if there's an icon. But where the court, if the, again, even this is paraphrased, I'm sure, And the court may not have actually said that directly, and even if they did, even more obvious. But when you can read between the lines, that's what the result is. You're not living in a world where judiciaries can be trusted. And they're going to move the agenda forward, and it can be identifiable what that agenda is without getting too far afield. Again, I've been involved in many court cases now where we assert that and they can't answer to it. They won't. They avoid it like the plague because they're doing it. The fact that they promote sustainable development, which is the antithesis of most all governments, almost all, well, there's so many governments, it's hard to say. Anything where you think you have a liberty, any government that's supposed to talk in front of anyone talks about, you know, the beacon liberty type stuff that you have due process, all that's being destroyed. When you have to understand what I've told you a long time ago, what identify what they do to the minors. When they take away your property, when they take away that they have to, or they ignore that you have property. Remember, that's the due process. They only give you due process for when there's a property concern. If they take it away, like Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab says, you have no property and like it. When they take away the property, then the government doesn't have to provide the due process that's required under the law. So it still sits there, but it's a hollow statement because they're not going to recognize the law. It happened to miners here almost a decade ago. And when I saw that, I said, oh, this game's changing. We better adjust. We're going to have to fortify the fact of what property is and where the claims are in the grants and go that way. We have to go that way. So what you don't understand when they say you're going to have no property and like it is that when they take away property, you don't have to be given due process. When they claim you to be an animal, a human, you're not property. You're someone's property. You don't have to have due process. So underlying this whole thing, the icon of free choice is that you have property that can't be infringed. And the court agreed that if they did that, instead of looking at the law, that being an example to people of being free was too risky. Well, you also see the word risk, even in the reiteration, even if it's a paraphrase, it's all risk management. It has nothing to do right now already with law. And so we can focus otherwise, other places, or we can look and see what it is. And I'll bring up again as we keep moving through these little words, risk management made a place for itself in our delivery and opposed to law. And it's the method of destruction. And it's a method that they destabilize, that they make war in our country. And this court, if this is anywhere close, that they ruled on the perception instead of the law, you in Alaska, in Australia, Alaska too, it's everywhere, it's a matter of degree, but Australia, where are you, folks? They're telling you that you no longer live in this place and you have a right to step up, make a record that it was supposed to be otherwise, and be your own Minutemen and defend that yourself. Again, I'm not saying you go to guns first. The way it seems to be working is you have to go make the record of the cause first. Not by your opinion, but by the way the place was established, and then point that is not being upheld by the institutions, the usurpers inside that institution. In other words, it's not your government that's the problem. It's the people running the show now who are more likely are psychopaths, more likely now if they took the jab are incapacitated even so. One more removed from lawful administration. You just start making the case. It kind of goes down the idea of the Declaration of Independence for the United States of America, though that is really, that's just a declaration. You got to be careful on the power that goes on, and more importantly, the subsequent action, the deeds that went on after that. You have to focus on those. But, okay, so the courts are now, we have evidence that the courts are not ruling in law. That's a serious defect, and we need to be more cognizant of that, but the public is not able to understand that, where they don't understand that they have due process, and they are unable to put the official's feet to the fire on their duties and obligations as the black and white says they exist. Now, the icon of injustice, the example of freedom, is not law. What's law? This is where the state's supposed to start looking objectively on what they're going to do. And I said at some point, they're going to make this thing normalize all this. They have to if they want to get out of it. And this has now apparently started. When I got off the broadcast, it wasn't just a couple hours after someone popped up, and I found the article again, where it was suggested that Spain, and this is the watchword for this weekend going into the future, is the word endemic. And it came out. It finally came out last week. This is where the governments are going to be switching over, or attempting to, and I looked at this back in, I think it was Sunday when I first saw it, Spain to treat COVID-19 as endemic illness instead of pandemic. What's endemic? Well, that's just like the common cold and the seasonal influenza. It's just around, and you're not going to beat it. You can't beat it. There's no technology to beat it, and so it's just what you're going to do. It's just nature. It's what your little ones are just about to understand is out there. What doesn't kill them at that point makes them stronger. Maybe they don't want to hear that part, but they got an immune system that's going to defend themselves if they get exposed to it, and that's their defense system, and that's the way nature wants it. That's endemic. Bacteria, fungus, illness, mold, that's endemic. It's your environment. Spain to treat it endemic. What does that mean? It means it's not epidemic. It means it's not pandemic. And so when I saw that domino fall from Spain, I said it's on its way. This week, we're going to watch the domino start to fall. Here in this story, Spain has suggested it wants to change the way it monitors the pandemic in order to return to a normal life by no longer seeing it as a pandemic, but an endemic illness such as the ordinary cold virus. Well, what'd they just say there? Epidemiology is not science. Epidemiology is cooking the books. It just depends on how you frame your books, right? So this was never, they've admitted it's nothing. They're now wanting to change what the books say in order so they can justify to the wider world that it's only endemic like it always was. Again, if you didn't put a special name, people would have been going about their business. Those of you that went down hard this year on a flu would have been the flu. It wouldn't have been anything special. It would have been the flu and a really bad one, and you'd be suffering for a month after or whatever people are seeing, and then you'd be okay with that. Well, okay, to the extent that you got sick, but you wouldn't be thinking it was a pandemic at all. No, it's endemic, just like we've been saying all over the place. But here, the domino fell. Spain advanced one of the first shots across the bow of this. Then it came quickly, COVID live. Scotland, to lift all curbs, brought in over Omicron, the moronic variant, as a UK reports highest death tally in 11 months. You always give the fear factor, but the news was Scotland was to lift the curbs, and they were going to do that because they're deeming it to be endemic. Further, Nicola Sturgeon announces lifting of Omicron restrictions in Scotland because it's now being considered endemic. In other words, your nightclubs will reopen, and it's not a complete lifting. They're doing that slow. They've got to be careful on the public backlash about all the problem that they now have prisoners that weren't supposed to be there. So watch how this rolls out. But the point is, the word endemic was always in their vocabulary. The word endemic was in the vocabulary of every governor in the states of the United States, and they will not use it. They will not claim that they could not demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, and if they could not demonstrate a non-fraudulent agency, that it didn't exist, it had to be endemic until they could find, was always in their vocabulary. It's only coming out now. Finding interesting in Europe, because people must be really having trouble, and their politicians are really becoming under threat. So here we have a confirmation that Scotland's going to lift. Never mind the bollocks. England ends all mask mandates, COVID passports, and work restrictions. This just came up. It's a Hannity site. I don't normally follow that, but this is just the information. I started looking for endemic. This stuff started popping up, just like dominoes, folks. When I saw Spain, I saw, here it comes. The word, the watchword this from going forward is going to be endemic. We're going to watch a lot of pushback to it, but it's there. And also, we're still not going to come out because it's the time of endless disease. Don't ever forget that. This is just a short reprieve. But the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has made it official. England is lifting all COVID restrictions, including mask mandates, COVID vaccine passports, and restrictions in the workplace. Johnson also suggests that isolation rules may be thrown out by the end of March as well. So it's coming back. The word endemic releases the power that they had. The problem I'm seeing with that is that all y'all that never answered to this, never pulled the officials' feet to the fire, may lose the opportunity to do so. So if you get in now, it's kind of like grandfathered in your objection, your violation. So You still have a time. However, as long as there's a little bit of pressure on you, when they release it, you lose your cause. And it goes, and we lost the opportunity as peoples all over the world to show that the government had no clothes, the emperor had no clothes in every jurisdiction, and they, and also lost the opportunity to say, you shall never make our, the will of the people known, you shall never treat us like that again. And maybe bring in more stringent penalties for people that, that did what they did. But that's going to go by the wayside. I'll be disappointed, but nothing I can do. It's only so much I can offer, and only so many people that will listen. And even fewer that will even say, oh, that was kind of an interesting thing, I'll give you a thumbs up. Given everybody knows that social media requires a thumbs up to get any credibility, right? I get zero. I get one or two. And thank you very much for those of you that do that. Like having to even suggest that you should go over there and do that's an embarrassment, isn't it? We are not people that are responsive. We don't even care to really suggest and support those that have an idea, even if they don't even have it quite on point, that they're at least out there swinging for the fences. I hope I'm doing a little bit of that. Okay, I don't know what to say. We've got to support ourselves at any rate. I don't know. So, they're lifting. It's because it's the governments are shifting their epidemiology to say, oh, this is endemic. Well, it's always been endemic. That's the fraud. But that's how they're going to slip out. And it's happening. Someone I don't normally respond to, I'm not sure what to where to place him. Joseph Paul Watson, I think his name is, through Cryptogon.com as a statement, it's over. It was a title to a video. I'm telling you about this because this one, I think, it's for adult ears, but I think he nails this on and on and on. He just nails this thing out the way he's talking about what's gone on. The posing actions that we're taking were in the complaint, you know, the idea, the hypocrisy that's going on. I want to have you see this from him. And I think, it, you know, you almost take notes about how they did this. It would go, what he said here goes a long way to expose this ongoing thing, the hypocrisy, the justifications, the changing of what goes on in people, how it went on, that I know we've seen it before, but it's all in one little spot. And it's all done at a time when I guess some of us who've been talking about this and the wrongness of it, well, that's right, that is the video here, and the wrongness of it, we were saying, here's how you analyze it. This is what, you know, I think I'm one of the few that were saying this is what you're going to do something about it, actually effectually, for you, because that's a case-by-case basis issue. Each had the right to defend ourselves in our own freedom. And very few, if any, have really stood up. But he lays out at least the logistics of our problem over the last few years. And in fact, this is the video where at the very end, he comes up and says that we that have been saying these things have been on the right side of history. And I told you that a long time ago. Anybody who stands up for themselves is going to be on the right side of history. So it's slowly coming out. Anybody who can stand up, even this late, it really, you need to do that. I think you need to do that for yourself. It needs to, you need to challenge that. You need to exercise that muscle. Again, the Minutemen, you need to come quickly and mobily to defend yourself. You don't have to do it with the arms or the ammunition or that they're trying to, and the powder that they're trying to steal from us by regulate under the color of regulation that shouldn't exist either, by a judiciary that will protect that because the UN, a non-governmental organization, wants to tie a knot in that thing anyway. They don't want people defending themselves. We don't have to go that way. That's the final response. That's the final thing when it all goes to heck in a handbasket. What we can do is bring new process and paperwork. I know it sounds frivolous, but we can, and they're not really shields, but they do put a lot of pressure when the momentum goes in that direction. I've seen officials take notice. As I said, even one-on-one against an official that's a miscreant in office, they disappear after a while. I'm really amazed at that. Silence otherwise. We don't get the justice we deserve, but we get someone out of office could be the one of our biggest helps. Anyway, Joseph Paul Watson, do I got his name right? He's I think he lays it out pretty nicely, adult ears, but again. He has an insight. And I guess it's a comedic insight as well, to get at the hub of some things. I'm not necessarily following him a lot on a lot of things. However, this time I think he does nail it, and I want to pass that on to you about how the UK, the nonsense that was going on for the UK. I guess this, I'm speaking to the UK. It's not necessarily for us. But the same hypocrisy and the same jumping back and forth about these officials that were taken as experts, all documented really quickly. It happened across the world. No one seems to want to stop that. But moving on, the dominoes falling with the idea of being endemic. France to ease restrictions. At the same time, Austrian Parliament approves mandatory vaccination. And so the people in Austria are just not stepping up that the government of France is, we're going to ease restrictions, because ultimately you look around that you're going to find that they're now viewing this issue as something endemic. It's something normal. And yet you'll still get the naysayer that's in the system that wants to continue the tyranny. And they will always argue that there's a keep the door open, that this thing might come back. Well, we already know that's going to happen. So we can't be persuaded. And the way you're going to stop that even in the future is to do what I've been saying about the due process. Go find out what it is. But there's always the threat that something's coming back, and they always mention it. And then at the end of the story, that's what that you'll find about what's going on. They admit there's only mild symptoms. They admit it's kind of generic. It always was. Even if you forget that it's a chemical weapon attack. But the watchword was endemic. The countries are slowly using that to exorcise themselves out of the problem. And I found an explainer, if you will, U.S. News, again, a propaganda notice. What does it mean for COVID-19 to be endemic? Essentially, it's going to be around. Again, this gets us back to the kids, little goats, your sons and daughters, not treating them as animals, not letting the system treat them as the animals. They tell them that this is the world. This is what goes on in life. This is the miracle of us, the immune system. It needs to go into battle to be able to come out. If we keep ourselves healthy, the likelihood that we win the battle is ever present. And we see that just by looking around. We see the evidence of a healthy system. We also see then what not being healthy is, and we can give a lesson to our little ones about how we should, the importance of watching, at least do things in moderation to keep yourselves healthy. But what does endemic mean? I give you a link to that. COVID-19 be endemic. It just means that it's normal. It's what happens all the time. It's seasonal. It can't be dealt with specially. It has no force and effect to invoke the tyranny that you've watched. And remember, as Mitch forgot to mention there about why, when the word endemic was always in the vocabulary of every official, wasn't it used in particular the United States? Bribes. A lot of money going in through the states. Where it all went, where it's going, I don't know. But that's what the main thing I can see. And so that's another waste, fraud, and abuse claim that anybody can make, when we understand today, as the world, except the United States, went through endemic, is now showing endemic is a word. Endemic is a thing. It's the thing it's already been. But you have a right to bring it up and say, well, it's always been endemic. You never demonstrated non-fraudulent exigency. You're just trying to cover for your fraud. Now, that may not go so far, but that's really more the truth. And so you have a list. If you didn't know what endemic means, they refer to the World Health Organization. It's irrelevant. But the point is, it just means it's around. It's going to be around. And we're going to lose an edge that people around the world had to hold their officials to account and to show the failure of the system that needed to be fixed in the correct way and fix it so it can't happen. Despite the world now using the government's using the word endemic to get as an out to relieve some of this, and remember, they're not fully relieving it yet. There's always going to be that leash and ready for the next disease coming along, which they'll develop, no doubt. You heard it coming. It's going to be in that new bird flu coming. You heard that. So be careful here. Don't think. Again, I guess that's Joseph Paul Watson. He's a little bit too optimistic from where this is going. He throws out that there's a hesitation to this, that it's not done, but declaring a little bit too much without making a record that we won is really not, we're right. This isn't over yet. So anyway, there's always a caution. But what starts to happen underneath, while part of the world goes into endemic, it's normal, And those most tyrannical states don't. We see this lunacy, again, the psychopathy and the incapacity in how people, what they do, countries do. U.S. to close borders to unvaccinated Canadian-Mexican truckers on Saturday. The United States will close its borders to unvaccinated and partially vaccinated Canadian-Mexican truck drivers on Saturday, the Department of Homeland Security on Thursday said. So let's just stop there. Homeland Security, do you think it's a bit of a security to shut down your movement of goods across the country? Do you think that's a support for Homeland Security? And when you realize that it's not, you realize Homeland Security is not your homeland, not your place. They're actually attacking you. And I didn't understand the scope of this, but we might be talking upwards of 160,000 trucks. And I don't really know if I can wrap my mind around how much material that means is being closed off on something that federal government has not identified, has not demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency over. And then you think about a truck driver's in his cab. Where is he going to infect anybody? That we had an alternative, even if it was real. Now, where are the bodies dropping in the street? But here's what your government's doing. The psychopath, the people that are really, I think they're mentally incapacitated by this jab they've taken. They're closing the trucker. Now, we've been saying, watch the supply chain. They're attacking it again. On the other side, we have the opinion from the other side, ridiculous. Canada's border closes to unvaccinated work truckers on that side, if you didn't understand this is a plan. This is a plan to kill your society. This is a plan to interfere with the supply chain, to make you hungry, to make you more compliant. One of the statements was the home of the free was defended by the brave, not the compliant. Pretty noble statement done by JP. Well, I'm saying you didn't have to be brave to send a certified mail demand for the non-fraudulent exigency. All you had to do is prove that it didn't exist. We didn't have to be compliant either then. But here we have the Canadian border closing. I want people to think about this, the United States and Canada. Not just the economy of the truckers, but the movement of goods is being absolutely blocked out to some great extent. To the extent I can understand in Canada coming from a truck driver from there, and this is really to affect you Kanukistinians up there, probably more, is because a lot of your stuff's coming into the States. A truck driver has a BitChute video on that his number is 38,000 trucks. Now, he talks about a semi. I assume for my just generality is about 80,000 pounds. 38,000 trucks, two ways, folks, over a couple days of transit. 38,000 trucks at 80,000 pounds, I'm guessing maybe just a little bit less per truck. Goods you're not going to be getting back and forth. Your governments are doing that, not anybody else. It's not COVID. And so when I told you they're coming to hurt you, they have their ways. They're going to. The protests I see are admirable. Do I have to go there? Admirable. But they're not really on point. And the other point about the Canadian trucker was they're on leave without pay. So that's another way to attack you. They want you hurt so that you're going to comply and capitulate. And those up there in Kanukistan, you need to, if you can find the correlation to the OSHA, in the United States, requiring that they have to have the objective basis, they have to state the necessity, you attack them that way. All you truckers should be doing that as well. If you're sitting in your truck park being a protester, why don't you write as well your letter to demand and your assertion and or go to the court to show that on a habeas corpus your liberty is being constructively infringed and now infringed, that you have the right to do this because you have not been found to be the infectious agent with an infection principle with an infectious agent. You have that power. Exercise that instead. My heart goes out to you folks. I don't know what else to do, though. I'm attempting to show you that there's a way to make it more substantial, your record, your abilities to do what you're doing, to show the attack by your own officials against the government, the treason that's going on. And all, what is treason? It's making war on the laws of your state. That's been asserted in our petition as well. They make war on the laws of the state, even, for us. That's treason. And it's defined in both jurisdictions, for us. And likely up there in Kanukistan. It's not too far removed. Like I said, I've seen things in UK and Kanukistan I thought would be nicer to see down in the States that those laws of protection seem to be a little bit more clearly laid out. But moving on, they're shutting down your door. They're actively interfering with the supply chain, this government, to hurt you, to kill you off, to make you compliant, to require that you do certain things. And to whom? The innocent. There's nobody first of all, there's no test. Secondly, they haven't found an infectious agent to put a test on. If they did, it would be a man-made weapon against us all. Anyway, it should be shut. The military should have shut that down immediately, arrested all the manufacturers and all those aiding and abetting the manufacturers of this bioweapon, chemical weapon. No. The military allows the borders. The Department of Homeland Security, no less, allows this to happen at warp speed. If you didn't understand, they are integrated. I'm back to that. Yes, I am. COVID, a Center for COVID Control to pause testing nationwide after Washington location shuts down. The Department of Homeland Security does this closure, notwithstanding we have evidence and a complaint that the COVID testing centers, notwithstanding that the PCR test is a fraud to use as a test anyway, but that there was fraud in the utility of them in the country, that the COVID Centers for COVID Control were testing centers that were wrongly testing as well. And I can't see that as not a plan as well to what? Bring the so-called cases up, even though that's not actually the definition of a case in anybody's state. I haven't found it to be the case that way. It would be the definition. The Center for COVID Control announced it is pausing operations at all of its 300 testing locations until January 22nd after widespread reports of consumer complaints and allegations of fraud, fake tests. Folks that made those complaints of fake tests go in and said the test is not just fake. If it was fake and faked, it was fraud to offer it because it wasn't supposed to be used. Why? Because the PCR is a research tool. And it requires pristine laboratory conditions, which cannot be sampled in the wild around the wild animals called you and your sons and daughters. And so we have the fraud finally coming after 2 years. These testing centers had problems. They said they're going to open on January 22nd. I don't understand why. They haven't identified, the government has not identified an infectious agent. And so why isn't the FBI stopping that too, or the military stepping in to stop that too, while they're closing the borders and wanting to starve you out? And it's not just starving for food. You think you want furniture, you want anything that's coming out of Kanukistan or going up in through there for you folks up there, they're going to take out, could be over 200,000 trucks, whatever their cycle time is up and back. I don't know how you're not seeing an attack on you, but we stay silent. We would rather not make the record that the officials have been violative of the law and that there's no reliance upon it. We can't trust it. There's no confidence. And they should be moved out and move them out at some point. The Minutemen could step up and not nonviolently create the records, which start to give everybody the objective basis for how they are supposed to be responding. Remind the people what we're supposed to be doing. We've been attempting to do that for many years, well, way beyond the COVID, watching this thing come on, trying to anticipate it. Hope we would, but we never did. We haven't yet. It's still there for us, though. And because, again, as we move in, they transform our society, and we're crickets, well, you see that they're going to starve you out. They see that austerity is coming. You're going to have less. They've already set that up. Now the government itself, themselves, on a fraud, without looking at alternatives of the proper cause, without stepping in to do the logistics to make it so, to blame healthy people in enclosed cabs are somehow the problem because they won't get a jab we can identify is a chemical weapon and is not the government's to impose at all unless the doctor says so, are still putting this out. And then we get the reason is this question from MSN, how the COVID pandemic could spark a public health overhaul. That's what they want. It's horrible care. They want to go from the private care that you've been given and all the law that will protect you to this committee care, horrible care,
at a distance, e-government. The COVID pandemic will always be remembered for a tragic continual mounting death toll directly tied to a brand new disease, but only undeniable hallmark has been how it's highlighted and exacerbated many of the county's longstanding health challenges. No, those health challenges, those comorbidities were always there. The disease was not the infectious agent. It's a new, made-up symptom set, which was applied to a non-existent organism that was actually a chemical weapon that is going to be used to try and change your health system, to overhaul it. They did it with Obamacare, Trump scare. This insurance company got involved. This, now we hear the nurse calling it horrible care. I agree. And it's all based in this fraud that keeps moving along. That's the object. They want to overhaul. What they want to overhaul? What the Nebraska Attorney General said, counter to what they want to overhaul. They want to take that out. Now, they're not going to be able to do it if people pay attention. But that's what their veneer authority is doing as you allow it. Now, what is this new public health overhaul but to rely on things? And thank you to an emailer that sent it through another email. Focusing on the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill patents. Whether or not I had talked about this, and I don't remember if I talked about it. It could have or could not have. I don't remember now. Been looking at various things, but they're there if you want to do it. I think David, don't remember his name. See, he's fallen out of the news cycle too. David Martin, he's fallen out of the notice after the other guy pops up, right? The other two guys. Interesting how that happened too. Interesting that happened after I started commenting that he's part of the deeper action on that, and we identified what's happening in Switzerland. But anyway, that Chapel Hill had. An article of 2002, Methods of Producing Recombinant Coronavirus. And they go through and explain exactly what's going on in 2002 that has been denied, has been going on now. Well, what happened? There was a 2003 patent by the UCDC over the SARS-CoV-1. And in this suggestion of, did I know whether or not I, did I mention this on the broadcast, I did a quick deep dive. I wanted to do some perfection on some of this, and boy, I did quite a quick deep dive. And then I pop up with a different thing done in 2015, also by the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, Methods of Composition for Chimeric Coronavirus Spike Proteins. I'm just giving you the titles, you can read them. So they tell you they believe that they're making two organic organisms, but they're also only making spike proteins out of 2015 from the same place that offered and received the suggestion from China that this is what they would be doing. And they did. And so all this was in there. I told you the patent readers had the answer a long time ago. And interestingly, David Martin was involved in that when this was in there. He's right in the right spot, although I have questions about some of what he's talking about because of what he's into and the consequence of what he's in, of what's going to happen and what he's into. And then he disappears from the mainstream, if you will. But here we find out, just a real question, did I ever do this? Comes up more patents from the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill about this fraud upon us, about the novelty, the patented, the man-madeness of this all. And I can tell you, I'm just going to give you two links. I had maybe 20 steps to get between the first link and the second link. And I was all determined on focusing on terms within this discussion of a story and saying, okay, what's this? It's all code. What's this word? What's this mean? What's this mean? And got me right around and got me over to the second patent from Chapel Hill. And they mentioned chimeric spike proteins. There's nothing actually chimeric about it. It's all synthetic chemicals. But they focus on that spike protein in 2015, folks. Where were you? Where were we all? As I told you, you're on the right side of history. Even Joseph Paul Watson says that. We were on the right side of history on this. What I'm asking you to do is step forward one more step and make that record so that you put that foundation in your history in this life. Be your own minute man, and you can do it peacefully. And press the fact that it ought to be done peacefully because you still have the last ultimate answer, which is not necessarily so peaceful or so advisable. And based on all this fraud, based on all this profit-taking,
on the university system, no less. Did you pick up on that, folks? We sued the university system by implication of going after the state and the supporting crew that comes in to enforce sustainable development in 2013. The university system sits right back there. The law universities that support that sit right back there to support this overthrow. The University of Chapel Hill was working all this time in that capacity. And part of that was the problem that Congress gave them the right to take the profits. And that's why we really don't have any public access to the public funds use. A whole different issue. But based on all this fraud, anybody who starts to speak out and how integrated this stuff is and maybe how the fungus works to keep itself wanting to promote itself in these jabs. PayPal terminates service for nonprofits fighting vaccine mandates. PayPal. There's a whole story behind PayPal on this stuff. This is e-payments, e-government, e-connection. You're integrated with the system. And if you have to rely on these people, they can cut you out. So PayPal is the latest tech giant to join the censorship game, shutting down its services for a variety of nonprofit organizations that are working to stop injection mandates. I don't need to read no more. This is the control structure you're watching. It's partly why I have because I got neutral and disappeared myself, if to some extent. I never engaged with these systems, never engaged, just didn't have a bank account. And this is part of the problem. This was going to be part of the control structure. And I've never stepped into that. Because of this reason, eventually you get cut out. You cannot be cut out. And the problem is I don't take benefit from it. There's nothing to gain anyway. But you learn how to live without these people that can take you out for a fraud and self-promote themselves. I want to know how much money went to them to do that to people. But this is how it works. If you're still connected with the system, that's a vulnerability point. Biden administration makes a list of religious vaccine objectors. No authority for any of this. They come under some idea that they're going to do it. The Pretrial Services Agency for the District of Columbia put it under a cover organization like it's going to be viable. Pretrial Services? Who do they think you are when they make you a criminal, all you freedom fighters? A federal independent entity that assists the Office of the District of Columbia Courts in formulating release recommendations for providing supervision and services to defendants awaiting trial, announced a new record system that will store the names and personal religious information of all employees who make religious accommodation requests, folks, for religious exception. See, what I'm saying is that you stay away from that. You say you challenge them to be showing you the non-fraudulent exigency for what they're demanding. And you won't get on that list. But it is out of the District of Columbia. Maybe that's where I got the inspiration to go check District of Columbia. What is their communicable disease law? Guess what? They have due process. Everything I've been telling you is sitting right there. But this is what the government's doing in order to make these databases, all utilizing this health fraud, this police power fraud, in order to do this stuff. And they test the waters here and there. Who cares about the criminals, right? Well, don't underestimate. You are deemed a criminal, an extremist, a terrorist by the PATRIOT Act. And this is continuing, this e-government continuation of you will be identifiable. And they want you on your phones, or you want your ability to do some identification. It's why I don't do a broadcast for video. I don't have a camera. I don't have access to this stuff. IRS to require facial recognition to view tax returns. The U.S. Internal Revenue Service has partnered with a Virginia-based private identification firm, which requires a facial recognition selfie, among other things, in order to create an access online account with the agency. Now, what a brutal process that is. And this is your future. You want to talk about austerity? Yeah, they're going to make it. They're going to put it on you. Facial recognition. You got to have all this technology in order to do this. Otherwise, you are deemed to be your innocence is no longer existent. You're deemed to be someone who commits fraud. And that may be the angle at that. But I wouldn't even deal with the IRS anyway. You have to situate your life in such a way that you don't have to do it. I'm hearing some stories coming out that maybe there's a way to do that, but I've looked at that process. It doesn't look right either. So you got to look very careful. Whenever you have to deal with the IRS, or you believe you are having to deal with it, then you're not positioned in the right place in your life in order to be able to avoid their regulation. Oh, everyone has to pay taxes. Well, look very carefully. Maybe you don't. Anyway, I'm not going to advocate any of that. Facial recognition, just to view the tax returns on the website. They want your face. They want to identify you. But while they're making you a criminal, that you are fraud if you don't have all this stuff, you asymptomat. J.P. Morgan's board made the Jamie Dimon a billionaire as the bank rigged markets, laundered money, and admitted to 5 felony counts. So the guy that's confounding, you know, justice is actually given more money through the corporations after agreeing that he get to committing 5 felonies. To go ahead and do more, I suppose. If you didn't understand the topsy-turviness of what the condition war we're in. He doesn't pay for any of that. You can't even go talk to the IRS without being convicted before you got there of being committing fraud. This guy admits to 5 felony counts, and he's going to get more money. How is that? Where is the justice in all this stuff? Again, money rules. The thing that has money rules. It's not about justice. It's about continuing the frauds, continuing the thing, as I told you before. When we went to fraud as a currency, we're done. And no one really has stopped or appreciated it. But you'll continue to work inside the system that is going to advance that to bury it one more place in the upcoming digital Fed currency, which will get rid of all the competition, in which you will have to have all these things. You can see the IRS is demanding everything, and this private-public partnership is demanding everything from you at their beck and call and their agreement over hours and hours and hours of time. But the FBI will come out of hackers and use bad USB to target defense firms with ransomware. I just bring all this stuff up. The FBI will go tell the defense firms that they've got ransomware attacks coming. They won't protect you, and they will deem you to be the problem instead of defending against this for you. That make sure, again, we talked about before, the defense departments have a closer line on the system, will be protected from the government, by the government, making it legal, then you will. And if you think that this notice to the defense firms is not a notice to you that your systems, your electronic files, which this private company has, can be hacked through the IRS, as well as everything else, because they tie into your motor vehicle codes and all that other stuff, the real ID, you remember that one, folks? Yeah, there it is. Those are how hackable. This is the main complaint, the main concern. Well, it's not the main one. It's the follow-up one. That again, I don't know what else to say. We're walking right into the trap. They're springing it on us. We're walking right in. Nobody really wants to respond to a show. And I'm asking people to do. Look at your statuses. Look at how they're constructed. If you look at that IRS report, you're going to see a whole list of stuff they use. Just go to the mirror to vehicle code. It's all the same. The same things that you collect up and have available for a residency, which is the status, which is the municipal federal status, which is controllable. A whole other discussion. I'll probably never get that in this broadcast because I don't know if there's a study in people yet to define it. But anyway, I hope you learned something quality today that you can use in your life and free yourself up. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Way.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's for... up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.